Y'all got the little book, right?
Yes.
And what does this mean? Why are you getting this? Lent.
Study.
Yeah, when I was a little kid, I used to think it was Lent. And I dig it out of your belly button. But, you know, Lent. And I grew up in a church where we didn't practice Lent. We had nothing to do with it. And the Lent has to do with 40 days of fasting. And it's connected with Jesus' 40 days of fasting when he was tempted by Satan. And so it's tied in with that. And that's how they got the 40 days of Lent. And so during this next time, we're supposed to go through a 40-day fast. Now, some of you can afford it. Some of us can't. Okay? But fasting is a lot of things. Doesn't necessarily mean you're not going to eat or eat anything for the next 40 days. But it is a time when you really make an effort to spend more time with God, build up your relationship, so on and so forth. And in that aspect of fasting, a lot of times people say, well, okay, I'm going to not have chocolate for the next 40 days. Okay? My aunt would say, I'm not going to eat ice cream for the next 40 years because she hated it. So it was really easy. But the whole point of this 40-day fast is to pick something. Like, you know, when you fast, you skip a meal. Well, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to take that time you would have spent preparing the meal, eating it, cleaning up, use that time in prayer, in study, and drawing closer to the Lord, okay? So, in the spirit of Lent, I gave you this little book, and it's a 40-day thing. And what you do is you give up something. Maybe a TV show you watch, okay? Something along that line, or something that you do, you know, at a certain time frame every day, when you can take a few minutes and set it aside, get out your little book here, read the passage and the part that's in there for that day, maybe open your Bible, read some scriptures that go along with it, or do a little bit of research. And so it's one of those things about developing a relationship. And so it's about the 40 days. Now, also, this Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and some people celebrate Ash Wednesday, too. And they take some, and traditionally, what they do is they take the leaves from Palm Sunday from the year before, they burn them, mix them with a little oil, and put them on the head. And it represents, what that means is it's a symbol of our mortality. From dust we came, and back to dust we're going to go. And so the two are kind of tied together. And Jesus is the one that makes all the eternal part possible. So you've all got the little book, okay? So your challenge for this next 40 days is every day find some time, make time, excuse me, don't find it because you won't, make time to pick this up. And I've read through the first little part of it, and it's not long, okay? And but spend some time reading and then thinking about what it talks about, okay? Because we can read something and then, you know, go on our merry way and not even think about what it means beyond that, okay? So in relationship to this next period is about Jesus, okay? And that's where we're leading up to Easter. And so this next little bit, you look at aspects of Jesus' life. And what I want to talk about today is what about Jesus? Even if you don't believe the Bible, okay, scholars know that Jesus existed. Okay, that he did exist, and the sad part is that what most people know about Jesus, where do you think they get it? Television. Just like last week, we talked about how what most people think about the Bible they get from the television, and it's the same thing with Jesus. A lot of times, what people get is their images of what Jesus is from television. And often, a lot of times, Jesus is portrayed as a scrawny little emaciated, you know, person with sunken eyeballs and so on. And that's really a lousy representation of who Jesus was. He was a carpenter. He was a leader. I mean, you take somebody that's, you know, like a beanpole, and they're not going to be able to make a whip and drive people out of the temple. They're not going to, you know, be impressed. The Greeks were impressed with him, and they came and they wanted to see him and so on. So a lot of, unfortunately, that's a lot. Now, there was one good series I saw a few years back, and it was the Jesus series. It took 6 hours. And in that one, they looked, into some of the stuff that we don't hear about. But like one time he had a water fight with the disciples, splashing water on each other at the well. And it's like brought out that human part of him that we forget about. Too often we forget that Jesus ate. Yeah, what was his favorite breakfast food? What was his favorite whatever? You know, we forget that Jesus and the disciples were human just like us. And so it's important that we understand who Jesus is. And so the first thing there is Jesus was 100% human. Okay? He was 100% human. He was just like us. He felt pain. He felt injury. He had to go to the bathroom. Just like we do, he had to wash his clothes, all the things that we do, all the stuff that we go through, Jesus had to go through. And John 1:14 says, so the Word, Jesus, became human and lived here on earth among us. Okay? He experienced everything we did. So why is it so important to realize that Jesus was human? Because when we understand that Jesus was human, then we understand that he can relate to us. Okay, Hebrews 4:15 says, this high priest of ours, Jesus, understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same temptations we do, yet he did not sin. He was able to go through all the things that we went through, and he didn't sin, but also he can relate to us. He knows what it's like to be picked on. He knows what it's like to be beat. He knows what it's like to go hungry. He knows all of that stuff. So he can relate to us in a very personal way. And so it's not some far-off God out there who has no clue what it's like to be human, because Jesus was 100% human. He went through everything we did. Okay? The other part is because he was human, when he made the sacrifice for us, it could be transferred to us. Okay? And also, it had to be voluntary. He had to willingly do it. So you don't find sheep who run up and say, here, let me be sacrificed for you. You know, you don't see the sheep out there talking about it. I get to go to the sacrifice today, not you. You know? Jesus, the one that picked it, and Jesus chose it, didn't want to. I mean, Scripture says he went to the garden and he prayed, God, if there's any other way, let it happen. But not my will, but yours be done.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay? So it had to be voluntary. It had to be, he had to be human, because an animal can't do that. And you don't see that in the animal world. Okay? Where a herd of zebras are being attacked by a lion, and one of the zebras out front goes, wait a minute, somebody's going to get killed. Let it be me. And they turn around and run to the lion. It doesn't happen. Okay? But in the realm of the sacrifice, because Jesus was human, he got to choose. Okay? And he could relate to us. 1 John 3:5, and you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, for there is no sin in him. Okay? So because he was human, it could be transferred to us. The second point is that Jesus was 100% God. Okay? He was 100% God. He was there. Okay? And he was not just a man who became God. He was God. And he wasn't God who came down and appeared as a man. He was a man. He was full-time both at the same time. Okay? Now, why is it important that we go that route, and we understand that he's God? Because God had to die for our sins. If you go back and you read in the Old Testament, when Abraham was around, there was one time when he took some animals and he cut them in half and he laid them in a trench. And it's called a blood covenant. Okay? So he cut these animals in half, and the blood runs into the trench, and the one who's making the covenant goes through the trench. Who went through the trench? Abraham or God? God. What that was signifying is that if anybody breaks the covenant, the one who made the covenant has to die. So God had to die. Now, Livingston, when he was down in South America's down there, in Africa, and that, he had trouble because people kept stealing a lot of his stuff. So one day he went to the chief of the tribe, the main lead guy of the tribe, and he cut a covenant with the chief. And they cut each other, and they exchanged blood. They made a blood covenant. Livingston gave the chief a white goat. The chief gave Livingston his staff. After that, Livingston had nothing stolen from him because he had that covenant with the chief. To mess with him was to mess with the chief. Okay? And so that was the way it was. And you know, Jesus is God and human. And so what basically that was saying is God was saying to Abraham, clear back then, I'm going to take care of it. I know you're going to blow it. So I'm not going to make you walk through the middle here. I'm going to do that. And it says it passed through the middle. Okay? And so Jesus was fully human, fully God. Okay? And, you know, think about that. Here you are. Your big brother is Jesus. Fully human, fully God, never sins. Every time something goes wrong, who's going to get blamed? Jesse, it was you. I know it wasn't Jesus. Okay? Now, does that mean Jesus never accidentally broke anything? No, he was human. He just didn't sin. Okay? So John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus, already existed. He was with God, and he was God. He created everything there is. Nothing exists that he did not make. I would say that was pretty much God. Okay? Everything that was created, he made. Okay? So how did Jesus prove that he was God? Okay? By his miracles. Okay? In Luke 7:22, so he replied to the messenger. This is the story where a guy sends to Jesus to come and heal his son. And so the guy sent the messenger, and Jesus talks to the messenger that the guy sent. So he replied to the messenger, you go back and report to John. Excuse me, I lied. Take that back. This is the part where John hears about what's happening with Jesus. And he sends a messenger to say, are you the one or should we look for somebody else? I'm sorry. So he replied to the messenger, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Now, all he did was turn around and tell right back to John what John had already heard he's doing. Yeah, go back and tell him that this is what's happening. This is what's happening. And so by his miracles that he performed, that's how one of the ways that people know that he was God. Second, eyewitnesses to his perfect life. Eyewitnesses to his perfect life. When Jesus went to trial, Pilate examined him and said over and over again, I find no fault with him. I find no fault. Pilate tried to let Jesus go 3 different times, but the Jews wouldn't let him. The thief on the cross, one of them started mocking him, and the other one said, hey, wait a minute. Aren't you afraid of God? We deserve what we're getting, but he hasn't done anything wrong. Okay? When he died, the centurion who was standing there said, surely this is an innocent man. Now, those are people who saw Jesus from a distance. Okay? They saw him from a distance. But what about his friends, the people that really knew him? Well, in Matthew 16:13-7, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, Jesus asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was revealed to you, not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven. Okay? The reality of that is, you can fool people from a distance for a long time. But when you get up close, you can't. If you want to know what somebody's like, go ask their best friend. If you want to know what I'm like, go ask Scott. What am I like when I'm tired? Huh? Grumpy. When I'm tired, I get grumpy. You know, I get 12 years. He knows me. I know him. So what would your best friend say about you? Do you really want to know? Okay. But you can do it from afar. Now, how many of you heard of Siegfried and Roy? Okay. They had a big show down in Las Vegas that went for years and years and years. And they do all these magic things. Well, there's one thing where Siegfried comes out and he stands there like this, and all of a sudden he levitates up in the air and he comes back down. And it's really like, wow. You know, a lot of loud music playing and so on. Well, my friend went to the show, and she was sitting up in a spot, and she happened to be sitting in just the right spot, up close, and she could see the arm come out from behind the curtain, all black, because everything was black. Came out, and there was a harness on his back. And it came out, and the engaged lifted him up, set him down, and went back into the stage. Now, you couldn't see it unless you were in exactly the right spot where she happened to be sitting that night. And so she saw it. And so when she was up close, she got to see it. But you can fool people from a distance, but not when you get up close. And so eyewitnesses to Jesus are the ones that talked about him also. Okay. The other way that he proved he was God is by the fulfillment of prophecy. In Luke 24:44, he said to them, "This is what I." They asked him, "You know, who are you? Tell us." He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and of the Psalms." So Jesus said, everything's been predicted about me. It's got to be fulfilled. What were the predictions? He would be born in Jerusalem. He would be, Bethlehem. He would be born to a virgin. He would end up spending time in Egypt. He would grow up in Nazareth and be called a Nazarene. He would be crucified. He would be raised from the dead. Not one bone in his body would be broken. And there's like hundreds of predictions in the Old Testament about Jesus. And he fulfilled them. Okay? And often you hear Matthew writing, this happened to fulfill what was said by, okay? So he was proved he was God through the fulfillment of prophecy. And if you look at other religious leaders, none of them ever were predicted that they were going to come, okay? Jesus' own identification or his claims about himself. In John 10:30, he said, "I and the Father are one." That's pretty conclusive. I and the Father are one. We're the same. Now, that hacked the Pharisees and the Sadducees off enough that they wanted to kill him, and that's what led to his crucifixion, their part of the crucifixion. I mean, they didn't decide and carry it out. Jesus knew what was going to happen. In fact, he told his disciples, this is what's going to happen. This is the game plan. We're going to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be turned over to the Gentiles by the church leaders, and they're gonna beat me and torture me and crucify me. But I'm gonna get up, which is the next one, the resurrection. By his resurrection, he told them, "I'm gonna die, but I'm getting up again." He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He told them what was going to happen. Now, one of the things that sometimes happens in the world is people try to negate that. They try and put it away. One of the theories that went around a few years back was called the swoon theory. And in the swoon theory was that Jesus didn't really die on the cross. He just kind of passed out. And they thought he was dead. So they took him down from the cross, and they took him and buried him in the cave. And later on, he woke up, revived in the coolness of the cave, you know, woke up and went off and snuck off in someplace else and died there.
What about the spear?
Yeah. You forget the other parts. Yeah, he got stabbed in the side with the spear, which brought forth blood and water. Yeah. Now, if you know anything about medicine, if you stab something in between your ribs, what happens? You get a pneumothorax. We treat them all the time in the hospital. Okay. People, you know, sometimes people get a spontaneous one. Their lung on the inside of their body develops a leak. And so the air that goes into the lung goes into the pleural space between the lung and the rib. And what happens is the lung starts to collapse away from that space, and that space fills with air. The lung gets smaller and smaller and smaller, moves over to one side, and pretty soon you can't breathe because there's no air going into your lungs. And then what we do is we take and we cut a hole in their side, stick a tube in there on a vacuum, and we suck the air back out, and the lung reinflates back into the spot. Well, they came along and said, oh, he's dead. Well, they didn't break his bones, but they took a spear and they put it in between his ribs. Well, that's one point. But the other point is, in a Jewish burial, when you take somebody and you bury him, what does Scripture say? They took along 75 pounds worth of ointment. About 75 to 100 pounds of ointment. In a traditional burial, they would take you, put you in there, they would smear this stuff all over you, and they would put it in every orifice. Your nose, your eye, your mouth, your ears, your bottom part, and all of this stuff. And they would pack it all in there, and then they would wrap you in cloth. Well, if you cram a bunch of ointment up the nose and in the mouth, you're not going to survive that way anyway. But let's just suppose that he did, okay? He survived the spear, he survived the ointment and the wrapping, and he wakes up from the cool of the cave. Now all he's got to do is go over to the thousands of pound stone that's in front of the gate and roll it out of the way after having been nailed to the cross and having the spear and having been beaten severely. And he's got to do that, roll it out of the way and sneak out without the guards seeing him. And folding up the cloth, he's being tidy, you know, folding up the cloth, putting it all away, you know. And so this is a theory that went around a while back, and it was like, oh, okay. And a lot of people really bought that, okay. Acts 17:32 says, when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, we want to hear you again about this. When Paul went and taught it, there were people who heard about it, and they said, whoa, that's stupid. But others said, yeah, we want to hear more. We want to hear more. Okay? So, Jesus is 100% human, 100% God. Now, the next part we're going to talk about really hacks a lot of people off, and there's a lot of misunderstanding out in the world about it. A lot of contention sometimes. Jesus is the only way to heaven.
Amen.
You know? John 14:6 says, Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Okay? Except through me. Now, a lot of people will, they accept all kinds of stuff. You know, you get there by different means and so forth and so on. You know, one example said that, you know, I got to a place by a limo. Somebody came in a Volkswagen, you know, so on and so forth. It doesn't matter the car, but Jesus is the driver, okay? Jesus is the one that's going to get you there, okay? And so, you know, I can have my opinion, and my opinion can be dearly wrong. But if you read 2 Peter 3:9, God isn't late with his promise. God is restraining himself on account of you, holding back the end because he doesn't want anyone lost. He's given everyone space and time to change.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay? In Matthew 18:14, it says, when he's talking about the sheep, he says, God's will is that not one of these be lost. Yes. Now, what about all the others, you know? Well, we can play that game all we want to. We don't know. But God's will is that none be lost.
Amen.
And I look at that and I go, okay, God's got a plan. I don't understand it. Okay, I don't understand it because there are billions of people that never hear about Jesus. But God's got a plan. And God's plan is that none be lost.
Amen.
And that it's all going to be through Jesus Christ. And you know what? I firmly believe that the only people that are not going to be in heaven, because God's going to work it out somehow, are those people who don't want to be there.
Amen.
Those people who don't want to. Are there people who don't want to? You better believe it. Yeah. And I really believe, you know, Satan going to be there? No. I firmly believe there are people that don't want to be. But I believe also that Jesus is the only way. And God's going to use that somehow. Missionaries, okay? I mean, we send money each month to EMI, Encounter Missions International. They have missionaries in Taiwan. They have missionaries in Mexico and Africa.
Australia.
Yeah. Becky's in Australia. Okay. And the money that we send in there, what they do, they send like missionaries off to some place. And they help support the missionaries till they get their footing. And so when Denise and Diane went to Taiwan, they went over there. They started working. One of them got a job teaching English to support them. And so they started a Bible study. They went from there. They grew. They developed. They trained pastors. Pretty soon a pastor took over the church. They helped them rent the facility for the first little bit. But then after a certain amount of time, they have to become independent and stand on their own. And they're doing it. They've started three in Taiwan. Australia's got theirs going. Africa has theirs going. They've got one in Mexico. And all the time, people are doing this thing. And can you go on a mission trip?
Yes, Lord.
Yes, you can. Been there, done that. 2 years, not this summer, but 2 summers ago, Bevan and I and Kay and Karina went to Taiwan. Bevan's second time there. Now, does Jesus make a difference in people's lives?
Absolutely.
You better believe it. Going through my training, one of the things we studied was all the different kinds of religions.
Yep.
Okay? What I really liked about going through the Acts part is when they taught about the different, like, Islam and Buddha and Hinduism, they actually had people who were leaders in Islam who came and talked about the difference between their faith and Christianity because they're now Christian. And so they talked about the difference. And the difference was, is that the leaders would say, it's over there. That's where you want to go. That's where you want to be. And this is what you have to do to get there. And it's works. Mm-hmm. You have to meditate. You have to do these different things. And they point and say, that's where you want to be, and this is what you have to do to get there. The difference is, in Christianity, it's done.
Amen.
That's where you want to be, and Jesus has already done everything you need to get there.
All you have to do is believe.
And I was over in Taiwan, and as we went to the different temples that they have over there for the different gods and demons, a big chunk of what they do in their walk is they go to appease demons. They go down to the temple and they buy all this play money and play clothes and play cars and all kinds of pretend stuff or big bundles of incense. And they light it and they burn it to the demons to try to get them to leave them alone. And they do it at different times. And they're very superstitious. They're very afraid. And watching them and seeing their lives, they believe in ghosts. Even the one hotel we stayed at, when you went into the lobby of the hotel, you had to step over a threshold that was about this high. And it was there because ghosts can't get over it. We went up to a fort that was up on a hill. And so we went up the fort. There was the path that came down. You had to step over it. And Sister Janet Robertson, who's the head of EMI, 1 year she dyed her hair. She made her hair blonde. Well, it got messed up and it got blonde, like white. Well, you know, here she is. She's in Taiwan. She's a Caucasian. She tends to be a little bit pale anyway. And she's got this really white hair. And she had on a light colored dress. And she's going into the hotel, and this little kid's looking at her. And just up next to her mother, and she's like this. And they get on the elevator, and Janet went to get on the elevator, and the kid just starts shrieking. Thought she was a ghost. Because they're so superstitious. And you talk to the people that have become believers. And you talk to them about how their life changed. And they went from being afraid of all these demons and all the gods to freedom in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the love of God in their lives. And how that changed. It changed their lives and set them free to just rejoice and have a good time. Conrad and I were talking about it again, about the Philippines. And the difference of people who really have a relationship with God and the difference it makes in their life. Okay? And so, I firmly believe that Jesus is the only way? Yep, I do.
Amen.
2 Peter 3:9. God isn't, I already read that, but we'll read it again. God isn't late with his promises. He is restraining himself on account of you. Holding back the end because he doesn't want anyone lost.
Amen.
He's given everyone space and time to change. Excuse me. Oh, sorry, that was loud. Acts 4:12. There is salvation in no one else. There is no other name in all of heaven for people to call on to save them. Does that mean God's unfair? Nope. God's a God of mercy and grace.
Amen.
And like I said, God's got a plan. I don't understand it. Some people have a better idea, but you know what? I trust God.
Amen.
And God says, I don't want any to be lost. And I'll leave it in God's hands from there. Okay, so let's make these things... these truths personal. Okay, number one, Jesus is the way. In that, you mourn for those without Jesus. You mourn for them. Now, in the context of what this means here, mourn in the scripture meant to mourn is to mourn about that which keeps people from God. So you look around, what is keeping somebody from the presence of God, okay? And that what that's talking about is for us to make a difference. It's not just to come and play church. Because, you know, we can do that. We can come and play church. And a lot of people do. And we get out of the safety. We're afraid to get out into the world where people ask questions. We're afraid to get out there and really share our feelings about Jesus Christ. When's the last time you really talked to somebody about Jesus? Yeah. Where is Jesus in you, in your life? Is Jesus important enough for you to talk to somebody else about him? Or are we afraid? And you know what? We had an interesting thing. You know what non-Christians are most afraid of? They're not afraid of Jesus. They're afraid of Christians. You know, I've still seen that bumper sticker, Lord, please protect me from your believers. You know? And sadly, you know, we laugh. But it's so true. I mean, you know, you look at history. Christians were screwed up. I mean, you look at the Crusades. They took off on this crusade. And one of the things they did, they invaded a city and they put thousands of people to death and they were Christians. But they didn't dress like them. They didn't look like them, and so they had to be wrong. And it's really sad.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we don't have that good of a history in our life. And sometimes people, they're afraid of us. And you know, a lot of times Christians get to be kind of weird, sadly to say. Do you know, a while back I saw a thing. They have a Jesus action figure.
What?
You're nodding your head. You've seen it. Yeah. They have a Jesus action figure. What does he do? Hang out with G.I. Joe? You know? I mean, it's like.
Who
was that?
He saves G.I. Joe.
Hey, that's it. G.I. Joe and Barbie and Ken. You know? But, you know, it's kind of. Some of the stuff you look at, I mean, it can get kind of strange. A bobblehead Jesus, yeah. You know, so people aren't afraid of Jesus. Sometimes they get afraid of us if we get too weird.
Yeah.
And you know, when people ask about Jesus in your life and God in your life, keep it simple. Don't give them a weird God story.
Amen.
You know? I mean, I've read some of those weird God stories about God woke me up at 2:15. And the next night it was 3:15. And the next night it was 4:15.
Okay, so?
Okay. You know, maybe at some point you got the connection. But you know what? If Brandy's wanting to learn about Jesus, that's not the way to start. You know, start with simple faith and trust and love. But don't, you know, I mean, because anybody here not have a weird God story? Things that have happened to you? That people, and I, by that I mean things that other people would not understand. You know, when the Spirit tells Jay to go to Shopko, and Jay hates Shopko, and tells the Spirit, I don't want to go. The Spirit says, go. And it's like, okay, I'm here, now what? He needed an electric blanket. Didn't have much money. Got in there, gosh, they were on sale. Half price. So instead of $14, it was $7. Turns out it was a $160 blanket for $7. Yeah. Well, okay, that's a weird God story. But you know what? Yeah, and you know what? I mean, the Spirit's prompting you to do something. I mean, I'm working on my house. Up in the I've got the back wall torn off of the upstairs. And I want to get the roof on it. And the Spirit keeps telling me I need to go to California. It's like, I don't want to go to California. But I go. And things happen that needed to happen. I'm on the way, you know? And the Spirit says, okay, stop in Sacramento. Talk to Reverend Reverend Frieda, thank you. Reverend Frieda, about maybe doing, this is why I'm going into my early training. See if you can do your first part of it right there. And so I was like, okay. Well, I get over there, I call, nobody answers. My calling card would not work. I had a calling card. Would not work. So I continue on to get to San Francisco where my friend Denise lives. Get over there. Try it again. Won't work. I call on her number. Nothing happens. I have plans back here. Finally, I get a hold of Reverend Terry. And she says, well, come on by tomorrow. We'll have lunch. I said, okay. So I leave. I go to by there. And I mention it. I talk to Terry about it. She goes, well, that'll probably happen. Let me go talk. Let's go talk to Frieda. So we go talk to Reverend Frieda. And she says, yeah, I think, you know, I'm here. And my thing is, I'm going to have to move there. Right? And the Spirit says, well, maybe you can commute from here to Sacramento. That's quite a commute. It's like, okay, I'll commute. Mm-hmm. No problem. And so, you know, I get over there and I we're talking to her, and Reverend Frieda says, yeah, she says, you can do that. She says, you don't have to be here, you can commute. It's like, okay, thanks. You know, and Frieda says, but I need to talk to Terry for a minute. So I go back to the office, and pretty soon Reverend Terry comes in and she goes, we need to fill out your paperwork right now. It's like, okay. So we filled out my paperwork and we faxed it right then. Turns out the next day they were changing all the rules.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
You would have been approved.
And it was like, huh, you know, I don't know what I'd have done. Okay? But I commuted for a year to California. Now, was the Spirit in there? Yeah, it was. Is that a weird God story? Yes, it is. Most people wouldn't understand it. So that isn't what I talk to people about. I talk to you about it. You know? But that's it. You know, mourn for those people who don't have Jesus. Going to Taiwan showed me what it was like. I mean, most people around here, you don't see that. You don't see that like it was over there. It was like, oh my gosh, this really makes a difference in their life. It makes a difference in our life. but not as drastically as we saw it in Taiwan. Oh, excuse me. Matthew 9:36. When Jesus looked over the crowd, his heart broke. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep which had no shepherd. And what he's saying is, like, you know, out there in the world, there are people who need to know about Jesus. And he's saying, love them. Don't be weird. Just love them. And you know what? They're going to disagree with you. Just love them. Just really care about them and love them. Because that's what it's about. Jesus is about love. And God's about love and compassion. Don't beat him up. Don't get out your action, Jesus, and do all those things. Don't grab your Bible and beat him with it. That's not what it's about. Love them, okay? The second thing is, Jesus is the truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, he is the truth. Make pursuing truth a priority. Get in there and learn it. Okay? And you know, and you know what? Your faith, when I came into my faith walk, I came into the walk before I knew a whole lot. When I was just little, I walked away from a church one time going, they don't worship God, they worship so-and-so. And it was a lot of do's, do this, do that, prove yourself, do what, you know, so on. And it was like and I was 13. I didn't grow up in a religious family. I didn't grow up, I mean, we didn't pray at my house. But God had put it there at a very early age. I knew it. I knew things at 13 that I had no right to know. But I did. And the knowledge about it came later. Okay? And so don't be afraid, but get in there. If you don't know, or, you know, I stand up here and I talk and I say something and you go, well, I don't agree with that at all. Okay. But you know what? Don't stop there. Get in and ask questions.
Amen.
You know, come up and whack Kelly aside the head and say, what the heck did he mean by that? Don't hit me. Kelly's over here.
He loves me. He does.
You know? So, you know. Yeah. You know, so, you know, just don't quit there. Okay? In Matthew 7:7, Jesus said, keep on asking, keep on looking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened. Keep on asking, keep looking, keep knocking. Because you know what? You're going to pick up this scripture and you're going to read something in there and you're going to go, what the heck is that all about?
That's when
you
hit Kelly.
And now we know. Yeah, hit Kelly. You know? And you know what?
I can take it.
We know what that's like. Because we're called the clobber passages. You know what? And you can go read some of those clobber passages and you look at them. And unless you know the history behind them, you're going to believe what people say. Yeah, and so, you know, but don't just stop there. Ask, look. You know, it was very freeing to understand that, you know, when Romans talks about these people, he's talking about people who knew God and turned their back on him.
Amen.
Okay, so dig in. John 10:24-25, the Jewish leaders surrounded him and asked, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Jesus replied, I have already told you and you didn't believe me.
Amen.
I've already told you and you didn't believe me. Okay? And a lot of times we're going to learn stuff ahead of time through the Holy Spirit. That's why it's important that you understand the Holy Spirit, you understand God, because God doesn't work in normal ways.
Amen.
Okay? God's going to work in you and tell you things and show you things, put questions in your heart and your mind. Don't quit there. Dig in and find out why. Okay? The third point is Jesus is the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? And then what I want you to do in this part, move away from religion to relationship.
Amen.
Okay? Don't have a... I grew up, and my relationship was with a church that told me works I had to do, things I had to do. And when I moved from a religion to a relationship, and I realized that it's already done.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
It's already done. I don't have to prove myself worthy.
That's right.
Jesus died on this cross for my sins.
That's right.
And made me worthy. Paul says, we have nothing to brag about.
That's right.
Except Jesus.
Amen.
Except we're smart enough to know Jesus.
Amen.
Okay? That's it. Move from a relationship with religion to a relationship. From religion to a relationship.
Amen.
And when you do, the whole dynamics of everything changes. And you stop trying to do things. You know, and it's not about a denomination. You know what? God doesn't care if you're Southern Baptist, if you're Catholic, if you're, you know, it's a smorgasbord. You know, I like all kinds of food. I'd love to go to a smorgasbord. But you know what? If they have liver there, I'm never going to eat it. You know? And so, you know, you go that route, you know? But so it's not about that. In Philippians 3:8. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus, our Lord. Everything else takes second place as to knowing Jesus Christ. And you get to know Jesus through reading the Word. I mean, this is one of the things, too. It can stimulate questions. But pick up the Word and get to know Jesus better. Okay? Too often we get what we need to know from other places. Okay? And in 2 Peter 1, 2, and 3, may God bless you with his special favor and wonderful peace as you come to know Jesus, our God and Lord, better and better. Get to know him better and better. As we know Jesus better, his divine power gives us everything we need for living a godly life.
Thank you, Lord.
His power. I can do all things on my own. No. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, who gives me strength.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. God blessed Abraham with wealth. Didn't rain from the sky. He enabled him to have the power to gain wealth. God gave him the power, okay? So we get to know Jesus better and better. He gives us everything we need to live a godly life. He has called us to receive his own glory and goodness.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's done. It's done. We're approaching Easter where we look at what Jesus did, his life. One of the Sundays is Palm Sunday, where we celebrate his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. You know? Where the people, for a brief moment, recognized who he was. And then how quickly we forget. How quickly we forget. And you know, the sad part is, a lot of people start out their walk with Christ in the faith mode. In the relationship mode. But it's too easy to go from that relationship mode into the religious mode. That's what the Jewish people did all the time. God would give them 10 commandments. They would multiply it to 600 and something. You know? Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. What does that mean? You can't drink more than a mouthful of milk. You can't write more than 2 letters consecutive on a hard surface where it can't be wiped away. But you can write in the dirt all you want to. You can't go more than 3/4 of a mile from home. You know, you can't. The disciples got in trouble because they're walking through the grain field and they pick a head of grain and they go like this and they rub off all the chaff and they ate the kernels of grain. They're in trouble because they worked on the Sabbath. Jesus got in trouble for healing on the Sabbath. If you got hurt on the Sabbath, it was permissible to stop the bleeding and prevent you from dying, but not to do anything that would promote healing. So if Connie cut her hand off, I can put a tourniquet on it, stop it from bleeding, but I can't put oil and wine on there, and I can't bandage it to help it start healing, because that would be work. Jesus healed one of the blind guys. What did he do? He spit on the ground and he took some mud and he rubbed it in his eyes, right? On his eyes, not in him, on it. Okay? And told him to go wash. He got in trouble because he spit on the ground. He took the spit and that made the mud. He worked to make the mud to put on his eyes. It's too easy to go from the spiritual side into that do this, do, 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 do. And it's a bunch of doo-doo. Okay? Don't fall into that trap. We live by grace. Jesus died. It was God's plan. Okay? It's God's plan. Live it. Enjoy it. If it's a burden, guess what? You're not walking in it. If it's a burden, you're not walking in it. If you're feeling guilty, get over it. Because Jesus already did it. And we're coming up on Easter. And that's what it's all about.
Amen.
The reality is celebrating that journey to the cross. And this is the first part.
Thank you, Lord.
Next week, we're going to talk about why does God allow evil in the world? That'd be a thriller, huh? Okay, would you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you. We thank you that you have a plan for our salvation and the salvation of those around us, the people we love. Lord, we don't understand it all the time. We don't understand a lot of it. But Lord God, you put people in our lives that need to know about Jesus. We encounter them every day. Lord, take away our stumbling blocks, so that we can share your love with the people around us. And Lord, in those times when we encounter people, help us not to be weird, but to truly just let your Spirit guide us and direct us so that we can take what you've given us, Lord, and we can share it with those around us, with hungry people. They're everywhere. And Lord, help them, help us to help others to not be afraid of your followers. And help us to walk in your light and your love. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And we thank you that you're a part of our lives. Lord, help us to make you more and more every day, the director and guider of our lives.
Yes.
God, we thank you for caring so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.